I'll just lay it down and talk into it.
Well, I'm very thankful to be here today. Can you hear me all right? Well, I'm usually pretty loud, so that's all right. I want to say I'm thrilled to many reasons here, and that is Michael and his Tanya. And I want to say that it's an answer to prayer because being in Africa, and we have 16 churches now, and sometimes we would get a pastor that was coming out of Bible school like they've been doing. And, yes?
If there's any way we can get you to use a mic for the online folks.
Did it like this?
Or this.
You better give me that.
Hey, Josh has got a good idea. Look right here. This is going to work.
All right. Okay. I didn't realize that.
I didn't think about it either.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. Is that all right now? Is that okay? Move closer. Oh, my lands. I could blast you guys right out of this building. And so anyway, we had a pastor, Paul Colonzi, and Paul was just about like Michael. He always wanted to do the Lord's will, knew he was a pastor and things like this. And he said, Mr. Gary, he said, I need a wife. And I knew whenever I met Michael that was one thing that he was going to need. And I was kind of surprised that he didn't get one, you know, quicker than this. But the Lord had the right one. He had the right one. And I was thrilled to hear that he was going back to Ukraine and going, and had this lady friend out there that they were studying together. And I want to say my prayer is answered that very soon they will be married. I want to just say on Tanya's part, how many times I've been in a church and not know anything at all. And I remember going into Kenya in 1965, and we didn't have floors like this. We just had dirt floors. And the ants, a little spider would make a V thing, and ants would go by and it would get them. And I was sitting there watching this all through the service. I was learning no Kikamba, no Swahili at all. And so I can imagine that's probably about the way Tanya feels here. But I want to tell you this. What I was able to do and what I've been able to see others do is help Tanya in the English. And you can do it with children's Bible stories. Children's Bible stories are wonderful. I like Superbook. My goodness, Superbook is just great. I think it is in Ukraine. I think it is. But she doesn't need it in Ukraine. She needs it in English. And that is good. In fact, out in Africa, where it was Kikamba and Swahili, I had a lot of them that learned English just from Bible stories at night. After they marry and things start to settle down, and you can take the mother and the daughter and just talk to them slowly, not loudly, just slowly. You know, when somebody can't understand, we just get louder, you know. And so anyway, I know how that is. And I thank the Lord. She will pick it up. Her mom will have a little bit harder time, but she will. They will do it because I know the Lord will help them. Also, I want to say one more thing, that it's taken me 45 years to see a man here in this church. I've known about his work. I am thrilled to see him today. when I look back, I said, oh my goodness, I've been with that man probably about the time in '60s that I went back to the field. Bob Spradling, would you please stand at this time and let the people see you? I am thrilled to death. Do you have anything you want to say, Bob? Pastor Spradling? All right. I am just thrilled to be able to see him because he's had such a ministry, led many, many people to Christ. And I just thank the Lord for this man that's in our congregation today. Well, at this time, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to the slides. Are they there? They're already there. Okay, now, bud, what am I going to do? Take this thing with me? Gum. I'll be speaking another language here in a minute. Tanya, you'll have to translate. I know this church has been with Pat and I for many years. I don't even know how many years. It was the other pastor. And Elvin Jividen brought me here with the Gideons. Remember that? And so anyway, I thank the Lord for you every month it comes in, and we're very, very grateful for that. And I begged the Lord, I will tell you, I begged the Lord, even though I was right near 80, I said, Lord, please let me go one more time. And Pat said, honey, I can't go with you. I'm sorry. I just can't do it with the mask and things like this. And she said, please, if you could go. The team was of 18. I was one of 18. And so let's go on, and you're going to go with me. And by the way, thank you for the reading the scriptures, Brian. I did not realize, I mean, I don't know how many passports I've had. Mine was expiring. And so we sent it in thinking, oh, well, yeah, the price has gone up. But if you don't expedite it, then they take their good old time, and maybe that's more than a year. And I didn't realize it. Anyway, I called Shelmore Capito's office, and I said, please, please, I need that right away. Well, you'll have to pay more money. I can pay the more money. I just need to have that passport. All right, next. And I also need a ticket. And I was very fortunate that I could got my ticket for $895. And to be able to go from here to Atlanta, to France, and down to Kenya, and then come back through Amsterdam and back to Atlanta and back home. But that's a long, long ways. But hey, you have to do it. That's just part of what you have to do. All right. This is the size of the team that went. Now, not all the blacks were part of the team, but they were part of the team out there. 13 of them came from Chile, South America. And they're really being interested in the work out there in Kenya, except they speak a lot of Spanish, and they don't see much need for English, but no Spanish is spoke out there at all. And so anyway, you'll see the different ones. I want you to see the redhead there at the top. You'll see him again. You see him there at the top. It was in Bob Jones University, found out that I was going, and the guy that was going to go with me to kind of make sure I didn't fall down, he backed out. And I said, Lord, I'm still going to go because I have you. And so anyway, that's exactly, he went to Bob Jones, and he said, I will go, can I go with Mr. Getty? And they said, if you'll come back. He is from Tipton, Iowa. My dear ones, I want to tell you something. This boy, I think, is going to go and take our work out there. And so anyway, you keep praying, and that'll be the intercessor prayer, which we'll have right after this. Anyway, this is the ones that have come. By the way, Michael, Paul Colonzi is in the second row, right beside me. That's Paul Colonzi that prayed for a wife and has a wife and four children. So anyway, that's who it is. All right, next. And this is where we ate. And that's a big team. That's almost too big, but that's okay. Between Chile and the five Americans, that was good. And so anyway, you can see Bonnie Leithman, who used to teach at Cross Lanes Christian School. She was the one that went, headed up the team on for the American side, and was a wonderful cook. And also Brad Zell, you'll see here on the right-hand side, Brad is the president of the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions. He is our president of the Mission Board and also president of the International Council of Christian Churches. Next. Well, we had just got in the country, and then we found out that our generator was not working. I thought, oh, well, you know, I've been out the generators before, but I wasn't on a CPAP machine, nor was three others that had to have their batteries charged every night. So we said, oh, my goodness, the Lord provided. My dear ones, you weren't there. I couldn't call on you, but the Lord still provided. And we got another generator. Next. And here you can see the different ones that we're able to visit. You must realize that what you're going to reach. The lady, the third one over, was trained by us, my goodness, maybe 45 or 50 years ago. She felt the Lord calling her to be a nurse. And later she went in, she got her nursing, her RN, and do you know she was the head of the nursing hospital. She was a top lady and a wonderful, wonderful Christian. Next. Also, when we went to the different churches, this lady over here, she was interested in us reaching medical-wise to the ones. By the way, the girl that's bent down is a doctor. And so she is giving vitamin A. And worm medicine. We find those two are wonderful to help with the health of the children out there. Next. And you can see the schools said we couldn't come in. They said because of COVID. But we needed to get in. So what would you do? Huh? You go to Sunday schools. We have 16 churches, so why not? So that's what we did. We just went to our Sunday schools. Next. And also, you don't go without the Word of God. You do not. And here, you don't have to have a room. You can have a Sunday school on the ground. They will listen. And I'm sure that near this girl was an interpreter. I'm sure of that because she mainly speaks Spanish. But anyway, they had it. Next. Now, this is what our buildings look like. I know you all enjoy this lovely, but I'm glad you do. And I just thank the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, last time I came, I was just taken back. And I'm thankful that you have it. We build all of our buildings 20 feet wide and 40 feet long. Well, that's fine. What happens whenever you build 20 feet wide and 40 feet long. What happens when you fill that up? Guess what? You knock that wall out and you go another 20 feet, and that's how you expand. And that's what we're having to do on this church. In fact, we don't knock the wall out until everything is finished. We've got the slab finished. And also, we just thank the Lord for the way that he provides and things like this. Next. And this is Paul Colonzi, Michael. This is the one I was telling you about. And so we have a church they told us about. I told in the prayer meeting that they started this church, and it must have been 3 years we've been building on this church. And I said, Lord, please, please, you're the one that can talk to the ones, and you talk to them about less expanding the church. And so, do you know, the Lord just laid on hearts here and there. And it's all fit. I got a call this last week from Indiana, Mr. Gary. Have we finished that church? Well, yeah, we're in it. We did the dedication. Mr. Gary, is that church completed? I never said anything to anybody. Well, the toilet's not done. That's going to be needed to be done. And it would be nice if we plastered on the inside of this. You know how your all's walls, well, it won't be that nice, but nice enough. And one man gave so we could have a floor. My dear ones, I was there probably 20 years before any of them had floors. And so now you can see they really feel that the Lord has blessed them richly. Next. And here you can see we had the dedication of this church, 20 feet wide, 40 feet long. And that's the one I told them in prayer meeting. And by the way, if you're not coming, you should. But they said it was growing by leaps and bounds, a brand new church. Next. They were able to sing, and some of those are in English, and some of those are in Spanish, and they just either learned all together in Spanish, or they learned all together in English, or they sang it in Kikamba. And that's the language we have out there. Next. And then we had the dedication with the pastor and Brad Zell, the president of the independent board. And my, it was just a thrilling time. Next. And we just see how the Lord has blessed. This is in the home of Paul Colonzi. By the way, Michael, the lady beside him is his wife. And we are just thrilled that she, in fact, she is in charge of the sewing. She's in charge of the sewing of the Bible school. Oh, I tell you, I love those people. I really do. Next. And here you can see they invite you and they just give everything they can. And I knew that they did not have the funds. I knew that. But I didn't say, finally I whispered in the guy's ear. I said, hey, do you need a little bit of help? Well, Mr. Gary, the Lord will provide. Well, that's all right. You know, he has different ways of doing that. Next. And also another thing we did was work on the desk. Now, I imagine Ukraine has better desks than this, but that's okay. That's what we have. And this is where we do, and we do it every time we go out. We repair the desk. Well, I think we started with 73 desks, and we got down to about 54. And the time we use different boards on different desks. And then, next, you can see that everyone gets involved. The best thing you can get is a cordless screwdriver. That's the best. And you go over here to the hardware store and you get these drywall screws. Man, that'll hold anything together except a broken heart. Okay, next. They're taking them back to the school and they will be able to use. So you don't have to have the fanciest desk in the world. Next. And, okay, there's another one of our churches. And this is Joel. I want to tell you a quick little story about Joel. Whenever Joel, in 1966, I was in a church. I was in a school. And I was telling Bible stories. And so anyway, a guy came up there and pulled my pants leg. And he said, Mister, I want a Bible. And I said, you don't have one? No. I said, well, you could come to my house and work for it. Work to get a Bible. All right. I will be there. And I had some old Gideon Bibles that had been taken out of motels. And I said, well, if you want to work, I don't know what he did. Anyway, he was able to work and get his Bible. This is the same guy. He grew up. He went to Bible school, and now he's a pastor. And I know he's driving a car. Not many of them have cars, so he's come a long way, baby, I'll tell you. And we thank the Lord for this work. And he tells me that his church is also growing. Next. This is Bonnie Leithman that leads the team. And, buddy, let me tell you, she can really get into flashcard stories. I would love to be able to get Tanya and get a flashcard and talk and just tell the story. I promise you, in less than a month, she will tell that story in English. I promise you, you can do it. Next. Now, one of the things that we did this time was plastic in Africa has a way of deteriorating very quickly because of the sun. So I was going to build, roofs over them, but I knew that was going to be a very big job. Oh, sorry, what did I say?
Over them.
Oh, water tanks. Yeah. But so this is a water tank, comes off the roof. And so I consulted some from African Inland Mission, and they said, Gary, there's a new paint out. And if you paint these water tanks with this new paint, it'll make them last 20 more years. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. That's 10,000 gallons, and you divvy that out slowly by slowly. It'll last a long, long time. Okay, let's go. And there you can see we are painting this. We did five of them. We did five water tanks. And, they were all thrilled to death. Next. And there you can see the team. Now, I want to tell you a little something here. You see this guy bent down? He's the husband of the doctor that came with us. Now, his name is Alvaro. Alvaro doesn't know. He has not accepted Christ in his heart. But he's a good friend to me. And I prayed seriously and contacted the board and things like that. I said, I want this guy to come and I want him to see Jesus Christ in our lives and in the lives of the Africans. That's what I want. And he said, Mr. Gary, at the end, he said, I'm not quite there yet. But he said, keep praying. Alvaro is the name. And I want you to keep on praying. Next. Also, another thing we did, and that is to give out food to the... These are the pastors. You don't give the food to the pastors and the congregation at the same time. So this is the this is just some of our pastors. We have 16. These are some of the pastors. And then we have brought another time and gave them to the congregations. That's a lot of... That goes a lot of food. But they need it. Next. And here, all another area, a lady in, or a family in Tipton, Iowa. They, every time we go out, they give us money to get uniforms for the poor. And so these are all ones that could not afford the uniforms. And so I got the lady in the orange. She's the one that made them. And the people in Iowa are the ones that paid for the material. And praise be the Lord. Next. And there you can see them. Boy, we are thrilled. And every time we go, this is what happens. And we haven't run out of money yet. Next. Also, souvenirs are nice to have. If you can get them back, boy, those canes are a little hard. But we also have Bible studies. Anybody know that wood? I know Pastor Bob Spradley would know the wood, ebony. And yes. And so that's very hard. It's becoming less and less because they don't plant the trees. So anyway, that's what it, we have Bible study with these guys, probably about five carvers. And some of them know the Lord and some have died of AIDS. But anyway, it's a ministry that we can have. Next. Also in ministry, this lady over here will like it, and that is in the medical world, can pastors, as they get older, can they see? Next. And you can see, they first read the eye chart. Next. And this guy comes from Chile, South America, down at Santiago. And so that's his work. So he brought that with him and the talents that the Lord gave him. Next. And so anyway, this is This is Brad Zell, and he is getting ready to speak at the pastor's conference we had next. And also the ladies had a conference and with the pastor's wives. And it was just absolutely wonderful. I was so thankful to the Lord that I got to go next. And here you can see, this is James Mwangangi. By the way, James is also on the executive board of the International Council of Christian Churches. And I think he and Paul will be in Collingswood, New Jersey next year about this time at the Congress. Next. And this is Alvaro is only teaching on finances. He's not teaching on anything of the Bible, but he was a good financier, and he was teaching us about how to use God's money God's way. Next. And there you can see Pat delivered this girl many years ago, and now she is in school and doing very, very well. And I wanted my picture. Her name is Ruth. So she loves the Lord very, very much. Next. And also, this is her brother. And he is teaching right near Mount Kenya. And he really loves the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for them. Next. I don't think I was coming here at the time. 2003. Was I coming in 2003? I don't think so. This young man came at that time with a terrible, what was the?
Amblyoblastoma of the jaw. When they removed, they had to remove socket to socket on the jaw, replace it with titanium and his leg bone. So people wanted to know, did he have teeth? No, God gave him an extra bone in his leg so he can have a jaw, but he didn't put teeth in that bone, so he doesn't have all the teeth.
But he's one of our pastors. And we thank the Lord. He's just got married, and that's his little baby. And we're very thankful for Joel Mzay.
They told him if he hadn't had surgery that year, and it was in January, that by Christmas he would not be living. It
affected his jugular,
yeah.
And also his
swallowing.
Yeah, swallowing.
So he couldn't swallow.
Yeah. Next. Well, we did do some seeing of animals. Next. And, boy, I tell you, I just could not believe. I don't know if any of you ever watched the news, the channels of Sheldrick. She and her husband did a lot for elephants and orphan elephants out there. Next. And also giraffe. And so, anyway, this is the guy that I tell you that I think the Lord may be working on his heart to take the work out there. Next. And I'm feeding. Boy, they were very, very strict in Nairobi. Oh, anytime you stepped out of your room, they wanted you to have a mask on. So even feeding a giraffe, I had to have it. Next. You know what that giraffe is doing? Sleeping. You would never guess what. They said, you see that giraffe? He's asleep. And so I just had to take a picture of a sleeping giraffe. Next. Some of the birds out there. Next. Now, you see this here? As long as I've been out there, since 65, that elephant right there was coming to us and made us back up more than a half a mile. And they said if we hadn't backed up, he'd have turned the car over. I tell you, you don't want that. Next. Next. Yeah, you can see these are God's creations out there. Next. Oh, my. Next. Boy, I tell you, it's a long journey. 36 hours, by the way, if you all want to go. Next. Yeah. Okay. It's time to go home, isn't it? Thank you for your prayers and everything. And I just had to show you that because it just happened. But if I don't get this in right, you'll have to come up here. Is that it? Good. At this time, I just want us to open up scriptures because I see our time has slipped away. And I want to talk to us about one thing that I think sometimes we forget. I'm sure Bob Spradling has churned his heart, because we all think, well, if I'm not called to be a pastor or I'm not called to be a missionary, then I just cannot do anything in the Lord's work. Oh, yes. We find in Isaiah 59, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." There was no intercessor. And so today I just want to say to you that I would like to see you've been wonderful to support us through the years, and you've continued, even though we're back from the field. And that is, I want us to realize, every one of us, my good friend here that the Lord saved later in life, some of you that I have known for many, many years, that we can all be intercessors. In Luke 10:2, it says, "Therefore said he unto them." Now listen, watch it careful, because this verse is used a lot in mission conferences. "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." This is Luke 10:2. "The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." You know what it said? It didn't say send missionaries. It said send laborers. Yes, a missionary is someone that labors. But you know what? Sometimes I think we forget we are holding the ropes. We're the one that's back here that are praying. Do you remember how hard we prayed for the last time I was here about for the Ukrainians? You remember that? You remember we were saying, "Oh Lord, bless them. Lord, protect them." Well, here, by the time that I come the next time, we have two of them here in the midst that the Lord did protect and did bring to us. And we can say, "Lord, thank you for that answer to prayer." The Lord did not call for more missionaries, but more laborers. And I believe, my dear ones, that it is very hard to see in mission boards all over the world that there are less and less. I'm talking about fundamental mission boards that are standing for righteousness. And I'm not saying that necessarily a denomination. I'm saying standing for righteousness. Here we find there are three laborers divided into groups. And let's look at them. Number one, you all support us as missionaries, okay? Yes, I knew that the Lord was calling me to be a missionary when I was 10 years old. A lady came from Liberia to St. Albans at Highland Community Chapel, where Al Yannick used to minister. In fact, he was the leader of the young people when I went out to the field. And he said, "I don't think Africa will ever be one for Christ." And I said, "Why?" And they said, "Because no one wants to go." You know, my dear ones, I would imagine that Ukraine's going to take a new face when this war is finally finished, that churches will have to be rebuilt. Bible studies, if they can find those that are still alive. In Africa, they could face the same thing. They could. Islam could come down hard on us, and they want to. They want to do it. The next is nationals. You were able to see the nationals that we rub shoulders with every day. I want to tell you this. You're not there very long, and you don't know that you're not the same color as they are. I will tell you. You don't know that. We don't have any whites even near us. It doesn't even matter. I just thank God that my dad, C.N. Johnson, taught me, son, don't ever look upon a person's skin. Look, God looks on their heart. My dear ones, as you're praying for intercessor prayer, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to come this week or next week and get to Michael. Say, Michael, I want you to give me someone in Ukraine that needs my prayer. And I'm talking about serious prayer. I'm talking about that this is in your mind every day. Every time you have devotions, that you pray for this one. I gave you the one out there in Africa. Yes, they need intercessory prayer. What about Keith's wife? Intercessory prayer. Just praying every time. I'm so thrilled to what I've seen here of different ones praying for different. That's great. That is great. So you have missionaries, then you have nationals, and then you have intercessors. That's you, and that's me. Whenever I was here the last time, and Michael's sister that usually sits here, she was pouring her heart out. I could tell. And I wanted to be a part of it. And she did it so much that I wanted to be a part of the intercessor prayer for Ukraine. I do not understand what's happened politically. I do not understand what's happened in war like, but I can pray for those Christians that are there. And you know what? All of us can. I'm not asking anyone to go to Ukraine. Maybe the Lord will call you one day. That'd be great. Or go to Africa. Or go to somewhere that has not heard. Maybe just a different place in West Virginia. Who knows? I saw one come to Kenya, well educated all, and they went to the slums. I'm telling you about, you don't know slums until you've gone to Africa, where there is no toilets, and so you do it in a plastic bag and step out of your house and give it a whirl. Where that when they're begging, if you don't give, they'll push it in your window, and so you have to keep your windows up. But you know what? They have a soul. They do. They have a soul that needs a Savior. Aren't you glad you know that Savior? Aren't you glad? I am so thankful that the Lord could use somebody like me. I met a guy here that's an ASCP. That's a real, real big lab technician. I was only, there he is. I was only an AMT, American. But you know what? The Lord didn't say I had to have the highest degrees. He said, I want a willing heart. If we can make a comparison to see which is the most important, their intercessory faithfulness determine the success of all the others. Did you hear me? If we could make a comparison to see which is the most important, the intercessory faithfulness determines the success of all the others. My dear ones, if I could just leave you with wanting to be an intercessor today, oh my goodness, it would mean so much to the Christians around the world and even here. I'm so thankful whenever I go to a church. Maybe I haven't been there in 3 or 4. Maybe I haven't seen somebody like this brother for 40 years or more. And he says, you know, I pray for you every day. And I know that that's what it takes. The story is told about a missionary, and with this I will close. And thank you for being willing to stay a little bit later. Missionary went out in Congo, and so that naturally there's no motels and stuff like this. So he pitched a tent, and he wanted to start a church in this certain area. And so he pitched the tent and was going to have to be there for 2 or 3 weeks or so before he could to be able to visit and speak the language and things like this. As he was having his devotions, asking the Lord blessings on the message that he was going to bring, he heard elephants. They had not seen elephants in this area for a long time. And so he goes to the tent door and opens, and there's a whole herd with their ears flapping back and forth like this. That means trouble. That means even if you're in a car and you see the flapping of the ears, you better turn around or back up because they are ready to charge. The missionary had a gun, but what is one bullet with the size of elephants? That wouldn't do anything. And so he cried out. He said, "Oh, Lord, help me. And I'm ready to go meet you if this is what you want, but your will be done." And with this, he was backing up. And he was backing up, naturally in fear of what was going to happen, because if one elephant came, it could stomp you to death. And there was a whole herd. There was a lady who was washing windows in the United States. And she was on a ladder washing the windows. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart, "Pray for this missionary. He needs prayer at this time." And the dear missionary was backing up, and he didn't think it was going to be very long before he would be stomped to death. And with that, he hit the center pole of the tent. And on the center pole held all the pots and pans to get them off of the ground. And when he hit that, the whole thing came down. It scared the elephants to death. And the last he saw was the honorable dust as they went off to another place. The missionary came back on furlough and he told the story. And there in this church, a lady came and she said, "Could you tell me exactly when that was?" And he knew exactly when it was. And he said, and she said, "Now I know why the Lord made me get off of the ladder and go in and pray for you." And that was the answer to prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you call us to be intercessors for you. You call us to be laborers for you, to go wherever you send us. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that ask us to go, and you always promise to be with us. Thank you for taking care of the missionaries in Africa or in Ukraine or in Poland or wherever it might be. Lord, may this church raise up intercessory laborers that will pray the Lord of the harvest. In Christ Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. If you'll stand with us as we worship the Lord.